to start my message this morning by sharing three stories with you. Three stories that are personal and impactful for me that is going to help us to go to take our message where we're going today. The first story is of a friend of mine. They were pregnant. They just actually had a baby about four or five weeks ago. And it's friends of mine who are pastoring a church in Woodstock. And dear friends of mine, since we moved to South Africa nearly 5 years ago, we connect maybe once a month. We go for coffee, we connect, dear friends of ours. And in around June, July time, he told me that him and his wife, they were pregnant and they had a scan. And in the scan, they found out that their baby had some potential heart issues, had a heart condition, and it was looked like it was going to be challenging. They were even talking about the fact that the baby may need to go to the ICU when the baby was born. And so they were praying, they were believing, they were hoping that that wasn't going to be the case. And so the baby was born on the 3rd of September. And then after the baby was born, what they found out was that it was actually a much worse situation than they feared. And by 6 days after she was born on the Wednesday, the doctors sat down with Jethro and Michaela and said, there's nothing we can do. Prepare for the worst. And so as a church, and you'll know this if you were at She on that Wednesday night, we prayed. We even up until I think this last week, we had on our wall, we were praying for baby Rebecca. And we prayed as a church. We messaged out to some people in our church. We said, please pray. And there were churches across South Africa. People were praying for this baby. I saw Jethro yesterday, and he told me that on the Friday and Saturday, just after the Wednesday they were told this, he was explaining how spiritual the journey felt. He said he just took one of his old phones and he put worship music next to Rebecca, and they were just singing songs declaring God's goodness and his promises over their daughter. The Sunday morning, they have a scan. Just one last chance. Let's just see. And baby Rebecca's heart was dramatically different with no medical intervention. So by the Monday, they were able to operate. And I've got good news for you, church. I went to their house yesterday and baby Rebecca is home and doing super well. And something happened to her heart, and a doctor didn't do anything, and there was no medical intervention, but something happened. In the business, we call that a miracle. And we started this year by saying miracles happen here. We said in our church, we believe that God still does miracles. Let me tell you a second story. Second story is of the best man at my wedding, one of my very close friends. His name is Jordan Snowsell. And for years, we'd been praying for Jordan because in his left ear, he couldn't really hear anything. And we just kept praying. I remember times we would gather, times we were praying and we were believing for healing. And he wasn't getting healed. And it doesn't fit well with me because I believe Jesus is a healer. And so I was like, okay, but God, you're doing something or whatever. So he goes for a scan to see what was going on with his ear. And so then they scan his whole head, and it turns out that it was a good job they scanned, because just on the front of his brain here, they found a brain tumor. And he was about 20 years old. And so they schedule an emergency surgery. And just before he goes into surgery, the surgeon asks him a question. He says, what are you going to do when you wake up? And George, just before he goes under, he says, I'm going to change the world. And he just knew that God was taking care of him. And he goes into this surgery, about 12-hour surgery. And the doctors, and praise God for amazing doctors, they took care of him. And what was amazing, he came out of that surgery doing really well. And 3 months after that surgery, I moved to Southeast Asia, to Cambodia with Jordan, and we planted a church together. And what was crazy is Jordan led one of the local gangsters to Jesus, who's now one of our lead pastors in our churches, in leading an amazing, growing, life-giving church in Cambodia. But he didn't heal Jordan's ear straight away, but God knew he was at work in a different kind of way. Third story I want to share with you is of my grandpa, my mom's dad. My mom's dad was in the early 90s, a very fit, healthy individual. He was a professional rugby player, an international rugby player. He was first rugby player ever to play in any international context, to play for schoolboy rugby, full colours, like international, and then the Barbarians as well. He played first player to ever do all of that. So he's a very fit guy, but he woke up one morning and he couldn't see and he was in a lot of pain. So my grandma takes him to the hospital, and it turns out he's in his sleep has turned over and he's fractured his skull, because what they find is he's got a bone cancer that means that his skull has been fractured and his eye socket has shifted so he can't see. And he was in a lot of pain, and doctors give him about 6 months, My grandparents were not Christians, not in church, never. The only time they've been to church in their life was weddings and funerals. Not even Christmas or Easter people, you know, it's just weddings and funerals. And through that time, my parents are in a community group. Shout out to our community groups. They're in a community group, and they start sharing with their community group leaders what's going on in my grandparents' life. And so my community group leaders say, man, we'd love to meet with them and pray. So they go and they meet, they have dinner, and they really get on. So they have dinner again. And my parents' community group leaders end up leading my grandparents to Jesus. And what was great, they gave him 6 months. He ended up living 10 more years, but he was not healed of his cancer. But his soul is now with Jesus forever. Yeah. And what I want to show you through the three stories to start out this message this morning is that the common factor in all of these stories is that all three individuals were healed. Baby Rebecca's heart was healed immediately. Jordan, he went on a healing eventually, and my grandpa was healed eternally. You see, Jesus is a healer. He heals people. And he will either heal us immediately, eventually, or eternally. Now, I have a conviction and belief, because of the scriptures, that we have authority and power as Christians to pray for people and see them healed immediately. And I don't just believe that from the scriptures, I believe it from my own eyes. I've prayed for people who have not been able to. I remember I was one time praying for an individual, and they couldn't walk up the stairs because they had arthritis in their knees. And they couldn't barely walk up the stairs, but she kind of crawled up the stairs to get to this meeting place we were having. And I prayed for her, and then she's jumping around the room where she couldn't walk 10 seconds before. I know Jesus can heal immediately, but we're in this series called Where is God? And the question that I think some of us ask at time and cause us to have Where is God moments in our life is this question: where is God in my sickness? Where is God in my sickness? And we believe Jesus to be a healer. I don't believe and can't see any idea, or we know for a fact that when we see in the Bible that there is no sickness in the Garden of Eden when God first created, and there's no sickness in heaven. So sickness is not a part of God's kingdom. But whilst we're here on earth, we have to contend with this fallen world we're in and our flesh, and sometimes sickness and disease arrives, but it can be very difficult to comprehend where is God in this moment. Even I was talking to Pastor Jethro yesterday, saying you wrestle with these questions when your daughter is lay there with tubes in her as a 10-day-old. Where is God in my sickness? And so that's where we're going to spend some time considering today. And I want us to look together at a few verses from the Bible in Mark chapter 5. And Mark chapter 5 is a story where Jesus is on his way to go and pray over a sick girl. One of the leaders in the local synagogue, the temple, Jairus, his daughter is sick, and it turns out she's very sick. And Jesus is on his way to heal her, but he's walking through a crowd, and then we bump into this other woman, and something powerful starts to happen. Let's read these verses together. Mark 5:25-34. And a woman who was there, who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Let's pause for a moment. There's something powerful about this story, and I think probably some of us in the room, either personally or a family member, can relate to this. This is a woman who for a long time has been suffering. 12 years she's been in pain. Let's give a bit more context, because you'll be forgiven if we don't fully understand the context of what's going on in this story. But this is a woman who not only has she been in pain for 12 years, because of in the first century Jewish laws, this woman would have been considered ritually unclean. What do we mean by that? When she had her time of the, or when a woman had her time of the month or period, then she would have been in a place where for 7 days she was considered ritually unclean until she went into what was called the mikveh, which was a place where they would bathe and become clean again. But the challenge for this lady here is that for 12 years she's been bleeding. And so not only is she in pain, not only is she sick, she's also been both spiritually and societally excluded. She's been set aside by society. She's been cast out of the temple. And so spiritually, she has no place before God in this context. And she's in a place where she is suffering greatly. So what does she do? She sells everything she has. She spends all of her money because she thinks, man, if only I can do something here, maybe I can get myself back to God. Maybe I can get myself back to health. And she goes to the doctors and she spends all her money and nothing seems to be working. I've known some people who have gone through some long-term pain and suffering who have been in these situations. You're pushing at doors. You're saying, what's going on here? And then Jesus shows up in her town. Let's continue reading. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped. Let's just pause on that for a moment. This is to assume that while she is walking through the crowd, she is still bleeding. What does this mean? That she knew that she couldn't let anything, her reputation, her dignity, she couldn't let anything stop her from getting to Jesus. She said, I just need Jesus more than I need what other people see about me. Some of us, we show up to church sometimes and we're wearing our church clothes and we're trying to seem like we've got it all together. And actually, you know, sometimes it requires us to make a move towards Jesus. Because then that's where the place of healing is. We've got to drop the facade. We've got to drop the sense that I've figured this all out, got it all together. Because actually, Jesus wants to meet us in the place of our vulnerability. Yeah. Let's continue. And she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Let's continue to the next page. At once, Jesus realized the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciple answered, and yet you can ask who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. 12 years of pain, 12 years of societal separation and spiritual disconnection. And then in a moment, Jesus heals her. I know some people in our church today. You've been praying for something for some time. You've been hoping for something to shift. Some of us, we've had wrestles with our mental health. We've been hoping something would move and shift. And this and why this happens the way that, why was it 12 years for this lady? I don't know. I think there are some things that we're not going to fully know this side of eternity. But we may not know the answers, but we can know the God who meets us in the middle of those moments. And so I want to say it this way to us this morning, that after a time of waiting, God will move all of a sudden. After a time of waiting, why does sometimes it take a time of waiting? I don't know. Maybe I could say that he gets more glory when we see the miracles happen. I think that's true. But why does it all happen the way it happens? I don't know. But here's what I do know is that I've seen God show up and heal people and restore people in ways that I cannot explain. Yeah. That could only be put down to a miracle. And I believe with my whole heart that Jesus still does this. Amen. That this is not just a story from the first century, but this is a story I've seen repeated in the 21st century time and time and time again. The people with great need, people in need of situations, people in great pain, that sometimes lasted a long time. And like I said to start with, sometimes he will heal immediately, sometimes eventually, and sometimes eternally. I don't think we get to pick which of those that we get to see. But what I do know, our role, our job as Christians, if you're a believer in Jesus in the room today, our role is to pray and believe. Specifically, pray and believe that he'll heal immediately. Why do I have such confidence in this? Let me pull up a verse for us from John chapter 14. John 14, verse 12 to 14, it says this. Jesus is talking to his disciples and says, "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father." Just pause. What's Jesus been doing? Healing the sick. Helping the blind to see. Yeah. Yeah. Raising the dead. I don't know if you know the power that is within us, church, but Jesus says you will do greater things than these because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. We serve a God who has power in his name. There is power in the name of Jesus. I don't know what your situation or story is today, but let me tell you something. There's power in the name of Jesus to come and heal, to come and set free, to come and bring life, to come and speak purpose and hope. That Jesus comes and he brings power in his name. And this is not just an idea. I was talking with my pastor, Pastor Josh, who was here in June. If you were here, we had what we called an encounter night in June. I was talking to him about that night, and one of the young adults in our church came forward to the front because he didn't need healing himself. He was praying for his mum to get healed. And so Pastor Josh is praying for this young adult's mum. And then he just has this sense, because there's this moment in the book of Acts where it says that they were even praying, and there were handkerchiefs that had been around the disciples, and they were praying, and they would take these and people would be healed. Crazy story. So my pastor, he said, whilst he was here, he sensed that he needed to pray, to give. He was wearing a shirt like this, had a t-shirt underneath, and he said, "I just felt like I needed to give my shirt." And he said, "I know the anointing of God is on me, so I'm going to give this to this young adult." He said, "Go and send this to your mom. She's going to be healed." So he was like, "Okay, let's see." Now, what he didn't know was that young adult, he's from the Congo, his mom lives in the Congo. Bit hard to get the shirt there. But he shipped it. He shipped the shirt over to the Congo, and then he sends me a message, one of our young adults, forwarded the message from his mom, had to translate it to me because it was all in French, sent it to me, and he said, since I received the shirt, I've been healed by Jesus. Miracles happen here. Last week, we were in a heart and soul night, and one of our the men in our church hadn't been able to hear out of his right ear since April of this year, and he was prayed for healing, and he could hear after that night. Miracles happen here, church. Like, I don't know if you know this, but Jesus is doing miracles in our church. One of the phrases that's been circulating around my mind for the last 5-6 months is this idea that we are a people of Pentecost. Let me explain what I mean by that. We worship and we love Jesus because of the work he did at the cross for us, raising up from the dead. That is our reference point for all of our worship. But as a church, our reference point for our ministry is what happened at the day of Pentecost. What happened was that the Holy Spirit of God poured out and filled believers and gave them power. We don't get power because of the cross. We get salvation, we get healing, we get redemption, we get forgiveness of sin, but we don't get to operate in power because of the cross. We operate in power because of what happened at the day of Pentecost. So I want to say it this way. If you're a part of our church family, I want you to know this, that we are not going to be a powerless church because we ignore the Holy Spirit. We are a church who is going to operate in the power of God, in the gifts of God, and see God do miracles. Why? Because I've seen it before and I believe he's going to do it again. Because we see it in the Word and we're going to believe for more. So if maybe you're on the fence about this church and you've been coming a couple of weeks, here's what I want you to know. We believe that God still does miracles. We believe that if you show up in his presence, that amazing things happen. And I'm praying today that we will see amazing things happen. That we will see miracles. I want to invite you to join me in faith, because here's what we're going to do as we head into the end of this message today. We're going to pray for some people and believe that God is going to heal some people in church this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you need physical healing for something going on in your body. Maybe you've got a family member. Here's one of the things I love about the story that we just read. The story we just read, what we see is that Jesus, like if we're voting as a church and we think, okay, who should Jesus heal? There's this little girl who's so sick that turns out she actually dies whilst Jesus is still in the crowd and Jesus has to go and raise her from the dead. So if we're voting between little girl who's nearly dead and lady who's been suffering for 12 years, she can suffer for another day. I think we're voting for Jesus to go to the little girl. But Jesus, he will stop for any person at any moment who needs help. Some of you, you've shown up, you're like, man, my shoulder's just a bit sore, my knee's a bit sore, my back's aching, and it has been for a while. I think Jesus can heal those things. Don't just push other people forward. Maybe you need healing today. We want to pray for you. Because we know that we serve a God who heals. He restores physical bodies back to fullness of health. So we're going to pray. We're going to pray that Jesus would heal people in this room today. If this seems very unusual and foreign to you, I want to invite you into this moment and say, we believe we serve a real God who really does still do miracles. But before we pray, I just want to lead us to one final thought and point in the message. Mark chapter 5, verse 34. Maybe we could throw up that last slide from Mark 5 on the screen. I want to read it here as well. Jesus is talking and he says something that he doesn't say. This is the only time he says it in the whole of the New Testament. There's this one moment he says something, it's the only time he says it. And it's this powerful moment. See, Jesus is going because Jairus' daughter is sick. And so he needs to go and see Jairus' daughter. And this lady, for 12 years, has effectively been like one of the lepers in the New Testament, cast aside, excluded from society. And so Jesus says something to her that's so powerful. The only time he says it. Verse 34. says, he said to her, what does it say? Daughter. Jesus didn't want to just physically heal her. He wanted to see, I've chosen and adopted you. You're a part of the family of God. I'm not just going to heal you and leave you. I'm going to invite you in. This is the only time he says it. Because everyone else thought, no, the priority must be Jairus' daughter. And Jesus says, she's my daughter. And I think there's maybe someone in the room today, you've been distant from God. You've been separated from him. You thought, man, I've done too much wrong. I've been too far away. And Jesus says today, son, daughter, come home. Come home. Maybe you've never had a connection to God, never had a relationship with him. You've known about God, but you've never known him. And today Jesus says, come. I want to heal your physical body, yes. But much more importantly, I want to heal your soul. I want to be with you eternally.